When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'll apologize, but I'll never know what for.
Okay, mine's kind of like Brooke from Brooks Mark's perspective. If Brooks had his own and he was talking about how he gets Meredith ready for
not the setup. Okay.
When it comes to parties, I'm always mask for mask.
Okay. Okay. Yes, I get it.
Because he made her wear a mask.
Did he make her?
No.
Well, he must have approved it, I suppose.
Yeah. Several people should have told her no, but
she was lied to several times.
Well, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Travis.
And this is Privileged Twinks,
a podcast where we recap the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City,
which is in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And today we are talking the finale of season one.
Can you believe it?
We've made it to the finale, and there are now three more reunions after this.
But I'm excited because reunions are my favorite. That's when people really come on court.
Yeah, and I kind of forgot how hectic this one is. Okay, also I'm looking at the set right now, and it's so much better than the one we got this year.
It gets progressively worse.
It really does. This year looked like they were literally like in a warehouse.
I always feel like that guy that was used to be on Flipping Out, Jeff Lewis, that's his name. He always says some out-of-pocket stuff, and sometimes I'm like, you just need to calm down. But he did say it. He said whatever. I think he said
Pirates of the Caribbean or something.
Yeah, he said whatever gay you hired to do this set design needs to be fired or something like
that. It's true.
Which I mean, who knows if they're gay or not? But
that set is so bad. The one from this year.
No, it's too much.
All right. Well, this episode is basically Jen's apology tour and ends with the beauty lab and laser grand opening of their new space with all the pink decorations and everything. So that is the episode that we are on, episode 13, if you're following along.
And that's the podcast, guys. We've summarized and we're leaving.
I just want people, if they didn't actually watch, to know which one we're about to start talking about. Although there really wasn't that much else in this one.
Yeah.
There is some other news about the show. That's leaked to the press.
Oh, God.
It's good news.
It's bad.
Supposedly, Mary Cosby called Henry, who is 12, the R word to Lisa.
Yeah.
And then probably Lisa told that to Page Six. So now it's out there.
But she also, Mary also insinuated that not as an excuse, but it seems like that was retaliation for something of equal.
For Lisa coming for Robert Jr., apparently.
Right.
So yeah. She did, like, on the one hand, yeah, stand up for your kid, but she just makes it so hard to, like, root for her when she says things like this.
Yeah.
So, but another crazy storyline for season 5. So it seems like Mary and Meredith are on the outs. Mary and Lisa are definitely not getting in good graces, but then somehow Mary and Whitney are back together.
My God. Well, you know, it sounds like
she's involved.
Well, it sounds like it's not going to be a dull season.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's good.
All right. You want to get into this season?
Yes.
Season one.
The whole season. Okay. Well, we open up the episode with a montage of all the ladies reminiscing about the trip. So they're just this kind of like weird,
crazy,
echoey,
black and white, echoey version of like what happened to them on the trip.
Right. They're all doing like normal like day things, and they just make them look like they're thinking about things.
They're all thinking about everything Jen sent to them, basically.
Yeah, basically. I thought it was funny how they also included Mary in this, but her flashback was just a FaceTime call.
It was a FaceTime call of her calling Jen crazy, But the way that they edited it was like she's standing alone in her kitchen and the word crazy is just circling around her as if she's crazy. Yeah. It's just like crazy, 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 crazy.
So then we go to Heather, who is at Beauty Lab getting ready to open their new location. This is just kind of like a little, the main part of this was that it's hectic, and Heather didn't know that those poles were called stanchions and the stanchions of velvet rope, which I've heard that word, but I don't call them that.
You've heard it from this show, probably.
Maybe that could very well be the case.
I think that someone from production told Whitney to go up to her and say the stanchion thing part.
Right. Okay.
So that Heather felt crazy. Like she was the only one who's never heard of it.
And she did. She did feel crazy.
Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Yeah. And also, you know, we learned that Heather or Whitney hasn't talked to Jen since Vegas, which they make it sound like it's only been like a week.
That's a kind of a long time if they're actually best friends, though.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah. All right. Well, after that, we go to Lisa, who is, surprise, surprise, but not so surprising because it was in the preview. But she's meeting Jen at a bar for drinks because she wants to hear her side of the story.
Except Lisa's not drinking.
Yeah, she's not. But apparently on the way out of Vegas, Lisa runs into Jen on the elevator, who's clearly been crying. She sees Lisa and she starts crying again. And so, you know, she feels bad for her and she wants to understand her better.
Even though the last thing she said about her was that she could not be friends with that woman anymore.
Yeah. And that one scene, she says she doesn't want to be friends with her. The next episode, she's talking to her and Heather says she still wants to be friends with her, but she's fighting with her in the next episode. It's like role reversal.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're just talking about.
But I do think there is something to say about, like, yes, someone did kind of wronged everyone on the group, but like, there's no reason to like ice them out and make them feel like worse about it than they do. However,
somebody has to start the.
Yeah, open the door again.
Yeah.
But Lisa didn't do any. Lisa didn't hold her accountable. She basically just let Jen sit there and tell her that Jen feels like she didn't do anything.
Yeah. It was a lot of, like, in their conversation, it was a lot of excusing mm-hmm. on Jen's part. Like, saying that people are misunderstanding or twisting all of her words. Falling back on the whole culture thing about her behavior.
I mean, I do think there's something to say, like, when she's saying, I feel like because of my culture and being raised in Utah and not being white, I have had a fight my whole life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That there is something to that, but you can't use that as your excuse for treating your friends shitty.
Right. It's not rumors. Yeah. It's not a blank check for any time somebody criticizes you.
Yeah.
You can't just like fall back on that every single time.
She keeps saying like, no one understands me or where I came from. And it's like, this doesn't really have that much to do with that part.
Right. Right.
Like your immediate want to,
it's maybe like lying is not part of your culture.
Yeah. Your immediate like response being instead of like fight or flight being fight, sure. But not like starting rumors and being bad about front. That's not the same thing.
Yeah. And I thought it was really she's been on this like every time her conversation with Whitney comes up where she was talking about Meredith's marriage. She always makes it sound like it was Whitney's fault somehow mm-hmm. in different ways. So in mm-hmm. this particular time, she says, sorry, I opened my mouth because certain people can't take it the right way, which I'm not sure. I guess the right way would have been to listen and not repeat it. That was the right way.
Yeah, I don't really understand the take it the right way part about her starting rumors about Meredith or spreading rumors about Meredith.
Yeah. And she also,
she was trying to say that like, because she has like a sense of humor to her, similar to when she said she would drown Whitney in her lake, that Whitney should take the Meredith comment the same way. But the drown the lake thing is just an exaggeration, but bringing up someone's marriage and cheating is not like a funny exaggeration. Right. Like it, There's not really a way to take that. That's not what you're saying.
It is not a metaphor.
Right.
It is, in fact,
it's like if someone
repeating
says,
rumor.
If she says that again, I'm going to fucking drown her. That's like, clearly she doesn't really mean that, I don't think. Mm. But like,
if Meredith has problems in her marriage, she's fucking other people.
Yeah, it's like, oh, okay. Those two don't really conflict.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. She also says in this, in a confessional about Heather, that she's the most hurt because she thought Heather understood her the most out of everybody, and she's feeling very misunderstood. Again, the Vegas trip, it was her against everybody, basically. So she's feeling misunderstood, and it hurts the most from Heather because she thought Heather would get her the most. Which they're going to address later, so we'll circle back to that. Now, I know Lisa doesn't really hold her accountable for everything, but she does. She is trying to tell her, like, not to get too hot. Like, when you always respond, like, in anger or aggressively or whatever, mm-hmm. it opens the door for people to just judge you instead of focusing on, like, mm-hmm. what's the issue. And that you don't need to say everything that you think.
Yeah.
Which is true.
Which is ironic coming from Lisa, but
yeah. I feel like I'd use it. I think I struggle sometimes with like word filter. Sometimes I just say things and sometimes I think I don't remember all the things that I say because I don't really think about them. They just come out. And so I don't remember sometimes, you know?
Okay.
You don't.
Okay. I'm going to take this clip and I'm going to play it back when you say you didn't say something. Just kidding.
I guess that's what it feels like to dig your own grave.
I don't know. I don't think you're like that, actually.
Okay.
This is what would be with you. You wouldn't say it, but your face would say it.
No.
You would be like, oh, this is the time I need to hold my tongue. But then you cut to in the corner, literally like rolling your eyes and like even like huffing out loud. Like,
I hold my tongue and I'm literally holding my tongue. No. I always think, listen, I really think I'm incognito all the time, even though I always know that I have no poker face. I don't understand how people hide their emotions so well, I guess, but I'm delusional and I think that I'm doing a much better job than I am. Mm. So it's good to be reminded every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, that people can see you rolling your eyes.
But not a podcast, they can't. No. Oh.
I'm not rolling my eyes right now. okay. Well, we leave this little farce of a meeting to go to Meredith, who is flexing bananas. Which I feel like it's a messier way to eat a banana than to just eat it.
Was she just out of
the peel?
She just eating it, or was she like putting it in the freezer?
I don't know.
Because a lot of smoothies call for like a banana base instead of ice. That was what I thought was happening.
Yeah, but if it's I see, freeze the banana then.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, if it's a smoothie, you just put the banana. You don't have to slice it. It's a blender.
But also, she literally doesn't even know how to work a blender because we've seen her do that multiple times.
Yeah. Well, anyways, they're being their new sort of, but normal to us, lovey-dovey selves. Meredith brings up that people in the group are talking about their marriage, and it's funny because they both have like two different reactions. Whereas Meredith is like, it's nobody's business, disengage. And Seth is like, you should just tell them our relationship was fucked up.
We fucked other people.
Own it all.
I was like, he really is saying everything he feels on camera.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's good for reality. If you want to be on reality TV, I understand. Like, maybe in the group saying, like, okay, don't talk about marriage, but like, you're going to talk about your marriage because you're mm-hmm. whatever. I don't know. I think his way is better. I think what's like in this case, when it's already out there, you might as well just. I think his path is the better path. Mm-hmm. So, like, this is. And just trying to be like, it's not your business, don't talk about it, is like a surefire way, I think, to keep people talking about mm-hmm. it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that was basically that. And then we see Whitney meeting her dad at a hair school. He's auditioning for a teaching position. Mm-hmm. So he's doing a short little trim on her hair. We learn he's almost done with his 90 days.
I understand that, like, why he did Whitney to do the demonstration with, but she already had really short hair.
Yeah.
Going into it. And I was like, then at the end, she didn't look any that different. So I was like, maybe we should have chosen a model with longer hair if he was going to talk about all the different things he could do to the hair.
Yeah, because she still could have been there and talked to him and just been in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, but maybe he couldn't find anybody. I don't know. You know, but in most of the scenes we've had with her dad, she's very hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
But we know, girl, that, well, we know.
This one, so she's the most hopeful because it's been like 6 months plus all of sober living.
And he's doing something.
Six months rehab plus all of sober living, and he's done. And now he's about to get a job
to support himself. So, like, the end is in sight, basically.
And we know that, like, as soon as cameras go down, the end does not come.
Yeah.
So it's just sad because she's even, like, crying in her confessional because she's happy.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's hard to watch.
Yeah. But there's not really anything else here, really.
Yeah. So next we go to Heather, and she is back at the desk again, honey, acting like she does something at that desk.
How many clients are we had today? Today's like,
oh, we're back to back.
Pretty much the same as always.
Just like, leave them girls alone. Let them work. Anyways, Meredith shows up and they go to the back to discuss Vegas. So basically Meredith says she thinks Jen is projecting the misery of her life and her marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why she's talking about Meredith, to distract everybody from her feelings. But you can't go after Meredith's family.
Yeah. She says the word family like 80 times in this confessional.
Yeah.
But I mean, she has a point though. If anybody came for Jen's family, they would literally be crucified. Like, in, especially in this kind of a way.
I will say, I do agree with that, but then, because that's the game that Jen talks, but she really does blame Whitney for fucking up her marriage more. And she's not like, she did get mad at Whitney, but like, comparatively, nothing bad really happened, you know? So would she really flip shit? I don't know.
But if someone said, like, you're cheating on Sharif, and I have proof.
Oh. Yeah, she would. I would assume she would go ballistic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, anyways, Heather is saying that she wants an apology from Jen from what she did in Vegas and from diminishing their friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And she's basically says that she's looked at it like, if Jen was a friend of her daughter's, what advice would she give her children? Which would be to kick her to the curb.
Yeah.
So she's trying to take her own advice. We know that she does not do that.
Yeah, it's kind of hard because this whole episode, I was like, yes, Heather. And then, like, we know that doesn't happen.
Yeah. And I think she said something really telling here. She says, Jen makes her feel like she did in her marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this makes a lot of sense in mm-hmm. this, in that I think she fights so hard for her relationship with Jen. Maybe because that was denied her mm-hmm. in her marriage. Like, she didn't have the opportunity to, like, it was, he filed, he got mad, he filed, they were divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And Jen is, like, round two of, like, something she can try to make work.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It makes me sad because I do feel like she, I mean, even though Jen is a man or whatever, she feels like in her past relationship, she had to do whatever the man told her to do. And in this situation, she feels like she has to do whatever Jen's telling her to do.
Well, and it's like being taken for granted.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, afterwards, we get to see Lisa talking shop about Fresh Wolf. And I think it's funny because, you know, like, this whole thing was staged. Well, as far as, like, yeah, they're just sitting around the table talking about marketing strategy.
There's some random girl in there and Jack is, like, giving a spiel or whatever to her about Fresh Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they're like, what makes Fresh Wolf unique? And they didn't answer.
Yeah. Mind you, these are kids. Like, they're not.
I know.
I have no expectations of them of being. Like, I know. Business savvy, but they are putting it on camera. It's like, why are you doing this?
And not all like body wash or whatever has to, like, there's a million body washes. It's not like they have to be unique or whatever, but
yeah, it's okay to have your own brand and sell it. People will buy it. It doesn't have to be like revolutionary, right.
But it's just like, they clearly were trying to set them up to say something that made it unique and they didn't have it. So.
Yeah. I do think it's nice because I think sometimes like, parents don't try to pass on like life lessons or things to kids. And maybe that's not what you want from your parents, especially when you're a kid, but it is nice to see like, you know, they have experiences that other people don't get,
mm-hmm.
you know, just because their mom like knows how businesses work
and has at the top to start one.
Exactly.
More.
And so from an early age, they kind of get like a,
yeah,
this like foundational understanding of like how to make things happen for themselves in their own lives.
Yeah,
which is nice. I mean, it's nice to see. It's not nice that not everybody gets that, but like, yeah,
right. I wish I got that.
Yeah, right. I was like, oh. But anyways,
I mean, I'm not saying that in a way like that life is horrible if you don't have that, but it's just like, okay, clearly they're not really even doing anything with this brand, and now we know that Jack is like. From that one TikTok he did, has like almost $300,000 from Fresh Wolf before he's even graduated high school.
Yeah.
So that would be a nice life to have that kind of bank account in high school for everybody, but obviously that's not how it is.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't know. I bet he got like a stern talking to because Lisa never talks about
money.
Yeah. Yeah. Except for her $60,000 ring. Okay, well, I just thought, you know, it is nice that they're getting this knowledge passed on, but like, maybe don't make him pitch something on camera without preparing him.
Mm-hmm. If this was Shark Tank, let's just say nobody would have given any money investment.
Okay. And so next we get to see Mary playing choir director.
Oh my gosh, this is so hard to watch.
I loved when she walked in. She said, "Where's the love? Do you love me? Make me feel it." I mean, but like, you could like have a judgment about that if you want, but I just think it's funny. Like, as a person, like, if you're feeling down or whatever, you can just go to church and be like,
"Do you love me?"
And everybody just screams, like, "Ah!" You know, it's like her permanent gas up station. Like, yeah. Just always go there to get refueled.
If I went to choir practice and my director, who's also one of the heads of the church, told me that I need to stop gaining weight, I would literally leave the church.
I know. What'd she say?
She said, why are you gaining weight? You need to eat right and drink water.
Yeah. But it's also weird because there were other people there who were like chunky, you know?
She's not saying, said things to them in the past.
I know, but she's not saying it now, so I don't know. I mean, I don't agree with it. I just mean, it was weird that, like, why did she say it to him?
I don't know. This whole thing just makes you kind of realize that I understand why, and, like, clearly these people get something out of her being there, but it also just feels like a power trip.
Yeah.
For her.
Oh, very much. Very much, yeah. And then to say she's a choir director, but then say tonight they're rusty. Like, she was being, you know, critical of them.
She also, I'm like, you didn't tell them anything to do with singing.
Yeah.
Like, are you a choir director that doesn't know how to read music?
Also, if you're the one directing them all the time, like, then they're bad because of you. Yeah. So, like, what are you doing? Anyways. All right. Let's move on from that.
A little bit.
I know about Amazing Grace.
So it's kind of like, this episode was supersized, as Andy likes to say.
Mm-hmm.
But for what? We can get 10 minutes of Jen and Sharif dancing?
Yeah.
With no dialogue?
Okay, also when they were... This is the next scene.
And yeah, sorry. So, the next scene is them salsa dancing.
Yeah, Sharif is taking Jen on a date. She's always wanted to go salsa dancing. He's putting in more effort, so he's finally doing this. She's been asking for 25 years, and she hasn't thrown him a birthday party in 20 years.
25 years.
I know. So, so they do that, which, I mean, this whole thing was kind of cute in a sort of like relationship way. But I just, when they were dancing, did you notice the cameraman? Like, they don't have like movie sets up. It's just a cameraman and, and the circle thing. And these people were dancing, and this poor cameraman is just like running in a circle around them multiple times.
I did not notice
that. Yeah, I was just like, it's not like they don't have like a track set up for a little camera to rotate. He's just like, there's somebody with a camera.
That's like all these shows, though. Like, whenever someone is, like, running somewhere, the cameraman has to be running after them.
Yeah. And really, you know...
Also, those cameras are huge. The cameramen have to be in, the like, such good shape.
Yeah.
To be able to focus, be on the exact person, and, like, moving all the time.
Mm-hmm. And even though this situation with them was cute, you know, they're on a date, they're dancing together, that she seems happy, I was just thinking, did he know the business was a fraud? Did he know point in time?
Yeah, because she says something like, you know, my heart is good. And I was like, just thinking like,
you
probably made some elderly people die from not having enough money.
Yeah. And this whole thing was about her intentions are nothing but good, and she's misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
Again, okay. Like, whatever.
It's the same story, but with Sharif agreeing the whole time.
Yeah. So after this, we get a get ready with me montage for the beauty lab party. So we just get a couple shots. I thought it was really funny that a lot of times they always put Lisa's laugh.
It's like everyone was like, what should I wear? What should I wear? And Lisa's just like, it reminds me of that girl on TikTok that is like the twink and a redhead. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
There's this group of, or like, they're two friends in New York, and she's a redhead and he's gay.
Mm.
But they like have a whole series where they like will be like, today my husband like did this, like pretending like they're a real couple. So all the comments are like either funny or like he's gay, but like that's the joke.
Yeah.
But she always has this laugh, and she's like, ah, ha, 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 ha. It reminds me of Lisa's.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we get to
booty, booty, booty.
The booty lab opening. And Heather's decked out in pink. She looked really good.
She did, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The space looks cool. It's a little choogy.
Well,
if I will say. The little...
5 years ago, Chugi is different than today, Chugi, I'd say.
Okay.
Because today, we don't even say Chugi anymore.
I know.
That's Chugi, Travis.
Chugi, it's Chugi, you mean to say Chugi.
Chugi, me Chugi. Oh my god.
Okay.
Oh no. I can't breathe. Audience, you're witnessing one of Travis's famous laugh attacks.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Stop it. Okay.
You got this. That was 3 minutes and 15 seconds. Just think about Billy.
Okay. Oh.
I don't want you to stop laughing. Okay. The most boring man in the world.
All right.
Okay.
And we're back. Okay, so Billy.
Billy. Billy comes in.
And their kids.
They take pictures.
Yeah, she shows Billy around. And so basically she's saying this is like closing the door on her old life and her divorce and starting a new future.
Yeah.
Which that was nice.
Yeah.
I know she says she needs, like, I don't think she says she needs his approval, but, like, is asked, like, what do you
think? She wants it, yeah.
Yeah. But,
she wants him to see her success.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I just, like, they were, like, they took pictures in front of the 7 Repeat, and he's like, so Hollywood.
Yeah. Maybe he's just uncomfortable being on camera.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's sad for me to think about, like, Heather being in a relationship with this guy, like, knowing her
she's
personality.
So, yeah, she's so, like, extra sometimes.
Yeah.
By sometimes, I mean a lot. Okay. So,
Whitney shows up next.
Mary comes first.
Mary comes first.
Mm-hmm. And they say something about, what does AF stand for?
There's napkins that say, like, messy AF.
I was like, was she joking? Does she know?
I don't think she was joking.
Yeah. Okay. Meredith shows up in her little mask, and it is a boot, mama. It's a boot. But I do appreciate her taking risks, you know?
There's just something so, like, it's Meredith is such a dichotomy. Is that the right word? An enigma. Because, like, she's kind of low-key and a little boring sometimes. But then she shows up in shit like this. Like, it just doesn't, like, when she shows up in that huge feather pink thing, I'm like, this just doesn't match your personality. It's like, but I appreciate the risk. Yeah, like you said, but
yeah,
something seems off about the whole thing.
And I really think it, you know, I really think it could have been better if it wasn't, like, a lot of those sparkle masks like that, like, they dangle straight down.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was on a thing around her that, like, pulled under. So it, like, went down her face and then down
her neck. It was like her entire head was covered.
Yeah.
Except for her hair.
But I think it might have been a better, more successful if it was just, like,
Orville Peck.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, any of that. Just, like, straight down. So it's not, like...
Yeah.
Even then, I don't know if it would look great.
It was too... There is something so campy about her drinking straws through it, though. No?
Yeah. And why was she doing her... She was just like...
It's like she, like, purposely wanted people to see her drinking a straw through it. Like,
yeah.
I thought it was funny.
I also think this was more funny at the time, too, because this was not long after
COVID.
Like, yeah. The mask. Well, everybody was had been masking, so this was, like, ultra mask.
Well, I feel like maybe they shot this right before COVID.
Oh, before?
I don't know. It just doesn't feel like that they would have, like, allowed them to have that big giant party at Beauty Lab if it was, like, right when the masking and stuff was happening.
Yeah, I thought it was after. But, okay. She comes in and everybody's like...
Well, it would have been shot before. If it's 2024 right now.
Okay.
It would have been shot in 2019.
Okay. So everybody's commenting on her mask, especially in their confessionals, and nobody really is here for it.
Yeah.
It was funny because Heather said to somebody, she's very beautiful, but she's a recent burn victim.
That is so funny.
But also
fucked up, but also funny.
Yeah. This is high fashion and you wouldn't understand. She also said something about her, like, a collab with Brooks Marks and something addressed.
Cowan.
But then I was like, does she just mean that he picked it out for her or styled it or something?
If I had to guess, it's that he maybe did the bedazzling on the collar.
Oh. Okay.
Like, they bought the thing from Christian Cowan and he did the bedazzle part.
Okay. Well, anyways, Lisa shows up and... does X mark the spot?
Yeah, she's trying to take photos and she's like, does X mark the spot? Because there's a Beauty Lab logo on the bottom, but it's not an X, it's a plus.
Yeah, but does she know that?
No,
we'll never know. She goes up to Meredith and she tells her about her meeting with Jen and that she thinks basically that she's just super insecure.
Yeah.
And Meredith is not happy. Because Jen went after her family. And if Lisa's been her friend for 10 years, that should mean something to Lisa.
But she's never going to tell Lisa who not to be friends with.
Exactly. You can be loyal to me and be friends with Jen. That's fine. So she is being very hypocritical here.
Yeah.
In between the confessional and what she's actually saying.
Right.
But what do you think?
I think she just didn't want to, like, do what Jen did to her. Or what she felt like Jen did to her. Which was, you need to pick a side.
Yeah.
So, I think she's still mad at Jen, but she wants to make sure that she's not, like, being hypocritical of what, like, and saying the same thing that Jen said to her, basically.
I agree with that. But do you think Lisa is wrong? Like, do you think Lisa should have considered...
I think Lisa just wants Meredith to be friends with, like, the other richest person in the group. Huh. So no matter what, she's going to, like, be friends with Jen until then.
Oh. Okay, but just in general, then, what do you think would have been is the right? Like, take their personalities out of it. You've been, one, you know, there's A, B, and C. A and B have been friends for a long time.
In general...
C talks about A. Should B still try to mend things with C before A does?
No.
Okay, so do you think Lisa's wrong?
If someone was, like, talking shit about us, a friend,
mm-hmm.
and, or, like, two friends in a friend group, I would hope that, like, the one that's closer to me is going to take my side and not start reaching out to the other one behind my back and being like, oh, my God, are you okay? When they were the one that was in the wrong.
Right. I agree with that.
So, yeah.
So, I think you're a Meredith's side.
Yeah.
Okay.
You think great.
You correct. We also see Mary getting oxygen with Whitney.
Quirky little moment.
Quirky little moments.
I mean, honestly, a lot of this episode was just them recapping what's already happened. It, like, Whitney recaps it to Mary, and it's like, okay, we already know this.
And Mary gets to say, I was right. I told you so. Yeah. I was right about Jen.
Which she already said on the phone with Lisa.
I tried to tell you. It's after this, though, that the meat and potatoes shows up to the plate. Jen enters. Now Heather's first reaction is she's glad she's supporting and endorsing the business. However, shit's gone down that has to be addressed.
Yeah.
And she's not sure if she says, like, her friendship with Jen, she's not sure if it's supporting or sabotaging.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's kind of a fucked up, like, feeling to have about your friendship mm-hmm. at all times. Like, if you, I don't know, if I felt that way about somebody, I'd be like, we're not really friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's kind of weird that you don't see that right away. If you feel like your friends are going to set, like, there's always a chance they're sabotaging you. Isn't that, like,
the not biggest, friend.
Isn't, like, the only red flag you need?
Yeah, right.
Right, about your feelings. But it's Whitney who approaches Jen first. And I thought this was interesting because Jen's working really hard to keep her temper under control.
Yeah.
But Whitney comes out the gate basically calling her toxic.
Yeah. Twice in a row. Like,
you're,
right,
you're
back
a toxic
to
bitch. I shouldn't say it like that, but.
Girl.
I was like, if you're really trying to have a discreet, like, public conversation, maybe let's not lean into it.
And also, Jen apologized. So it's kind of like, maybe leave it there until the next time. But they probably know they're filming the finale, so.
But also, she was being fake.
Jen?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
I was like, you're so close to be like, if you could just. You know, you've acknowledged that you need to work on your temper and remain calm a little bit longer, which she is doing. So kudos.
Kudos to you, mama.
She's apologizing and, you know, taking accountability, which is something she needs to do. Okay, kudos. Then you turn around and you just shit on both of those because what you're saying is you didn't mean the apology and you're just acting.
Yeah.
So you're not actually doing any work.
Which is why Whitney kept going.
Right. Because there's no sincerity. No sincerity. Then we get a little clip of Jen over with Lisa. Lisa's laughing and Meredith is side-eyeing Mama.
Yeah.
Heather gives a speech, you know, about her success and how proud she is at Beauty Lab, which that's good. And I thought it was...
That's good. She did that.
Good for you, Mama. I thought it was interesting because at the end of this, Lisa hugs her. And a big theme of this season and also the reunion was how Lisa
and her not good
didn't get along. But then they had this like moment right in the finale, yeah. which I forgot about. And I was like, oh,
yeah, I forgot about that too.
Yeah,
I think the reunion is really where it all comes crumbling.
Yeah, after everybody sees all the confessionals and mm-hmm. and this is their first time, you know, post season, every like having to see everybody's opinions online.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that threw
mm-hmm.
a wrench in the works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there we go. I was going to say a monkey in the wrench, and I was like...
Get through a wrench at the monkey.
Yeah, or a bat. we also spot Angie K in the crowd. First appearance, finale, season one.
And she's talking to Jen.
Yeah.
Which the producers must not have realized this, because whenever they like will be like, Angie and Jen have been friends for a long time, I feel like they should show this clip like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And then they'd show that clip.
Yeah. So then we go see Meredith, and she's at a table talking shit about Jen, basically. She's like, when somebody acts dangerous towards me and I ignore it, it's disastrous. And then Jen shows up and she's like, oh, hello. Hello.
Hello.
This felt like humble pie to me. I feel like Jen went a little gravel mode, where she apologized immediately. She's like apologizing for hurting her family and for messing with her marriage. She still makes it sound like, when the Whitney part comes up to it, she still makes it sound like it was a discussion. She was like apologizing for engaging in discussion.
Right. When you just said it all.
You brought it up and said everything.
And right. Whitney didn't even engage in it.
Exactly. So I still think she's DeLulu.
This is
their first season, and I'm like, you don't. Maybe the reality of like things being on camera is like hitting you, but like,
but it's gonna.
It's gonna. Because you can't act like. You can't act like that. Surprisingly, Meredith is not having it. She's not taking the apology. She needs actions over time to heal the wound.
Yeah.
Which I feel like
says that though. And it's ambiguous on how much time or what needs to happen.
And she says her relationship will never be the same. She was like, it will take a long time to get back to where it was, if ever.
If ever.
Right. But then we know 2 years from now, she's like,
she's the one in New York with her.
Right.
At her trial.
Right. And I was, you know, this whole groveling thing, I was like, I really don't understand their friendship or whatever friendship they had, because they do not go together like Rampa Lampa.
No.
I've never seen Meredith and Jen get along so well that this makes sense to me. Mm-mm. So it just seems a little bit of like social. Like, oh, Meredith is like a big woman in this town.
A big woman.
And I have to grow, and I have to be in her good graces.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
I think that's what all of it is, really.
Yeah.
To an extent.
So now that that's done, we get to the last confrontation, which is between Heather and Jen.
Yes.
Now, these two having beef makes sense, because they, even though maybe it's not back. The best relationship, they obviously get on with each other. Mm-hmm. I really thought it was funny that Heather's like straw, the thing she's most upset about is the trust thing. I was like, it's like kind of silly, especially after everybody.
But I think it's just like an exact example. Like,
but it was also like after everybody raised their hand for Jen.
Yeah.
Including Heather.
But you might feel like it's just because she knew that Jen was in the wrong that time. And so instead of Jen accepting it, she like deflected it back on Heather.
Right.
And
no, I get it. I get it. But I also was like, well, you said you didn't trust her. So she just was like,
she just hit it back.
She was just giving it back to you.
Yeah.
So they're talking about their issues. It's getting a little heated. I thought this was weird because the other girls are in a little circle and they're all getting like a little anxious about it. Because they're getting loud and it's an event. But then again, I'm just, it's, you know, the cameras are there. This is what you're supposed to be doing, right?
Yeah. But they really all are trying to be like, Heather, go enjoy your event. And Heather's what keeps screaming at
shit. She's like, no. And Lisa's like, can we whisper?
Yeah, Lisa's like, how about we whisper and get more tequila?
Yeah. Heather basically is saying she wants Jen to say that she took it for granted.
She
keeps saying, own it. It's very rid of moment.
Mm-hmm.
But Jen feels like she's been there for her. And this is a theme with Jen, is where she just doesn't understand what people are mad about with her. And I think it's because she's like, she thinks she can just do whatever she wants. And like, people should just like rationalize it and be okay with it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she does say I own it, but then she's like, but what am I owning?
Yeah, the whole time she's like, I'm not, I don't know what I'm sorry for. I feel like I have done those things. I'll say whatever you want me to say.
And her examples are getting Heather the private shopping experience or whatever, which is like, yeah. Not buying someone's shoes is not the same as being there for them.
Yeah, exactly. It is a nice, it's not to discount it. It is a nice gesture. That is a nice thing to do for your friend. But that is not, but if you can't rely on spending money to buy. It makes me feel like you're just trying to buy your relationships.
Yeah.
If you can throw enough money at it, the problem will go away. Like Heather you shouldn't be friends with somebody because they buy you things.
Right.
Right. She also said
that Heather can buy her own shoes.
Very loud.
Clock that tea.
Beauty Lab pumps. She said something though that I appreciated. She's like, I showed up for you in Vegas after you were fighting everybody. The Shaw Squad is on your payroll. I was like, she clocked it. Anyways, so I guess we have this really kind of drawn out argument. The ladies eventually leave. The other ladies leave because they're like, this is just exhausting.
They leave the whole party.
Yeah, they're like, this is dumb.
Yeah.
And then Heather won't disengage from it because she wants to resolve it. She says, if we're not good, I don't feel good.
Yeah.
And they do come to a resolution. At the end of it, you know, Jen's crying. She says, have you been a good friend to me? Jen says, no. And she says, and then Heather says, will you be a good friend to me going forward? She says, yes. And Heather says, that's all she needs.
Yeah. But then they kind of like, Heather wants to borrow Jen's lip gloss. And Jen says, like, fuck you, like, four times. And I'm like, oh, she's not over it.
Yeah. No, not at all.
I mean, like, fuck you in like a playful way, I guess, kind of, sort of, but also kind of like there's deeper meaning here.
Yeah. And that's pretty much it. We get a little fun look back at the, I liked this little, at the end, they do like a little montage of everything that's happened over the season, like little clips.
Did they do that?
Yeah.
What'd they do?
They just showed like a set, like all little, remember they were like,
oh little yeah, little quirky moments from the whole everybody.
Season. Yeah, I liked that.
I liked that too. Also, it just makes you realize like how funny these people are.
Yeah. And then they had the normal like little end of season freeze frames with the words. I didn't write them down because I, you know, whatever.
The main one that stuck out to me was that Jen hired another assistant number 8 on the Shaw Squad.
And
that's all.
Monica?
She was never on the payroll.
Right.
But maybe that is her.
Yeah. Well,
that's the end of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
I'm excited for the finale, or for the reunions, because I forgot how like explosive they can be with Jen like running away so many times. And also, it's a COVID reunion. They're all sitting 6 feet away, even though they all probably run off and console Jen in the back.
What a weird reminder of the times.
Of the times.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited for the reunions. Did you have anything else to say about this episode?
No.
Yeah, it was kind of, honestly, it wasn't that explosive of a finale. But I feel like sometimes they have like the most explosive stuff, the one before the finale.
I think it's just watching it the first time it would have been. It was more explosive because now you just know too much.
But now I know what an explosive finale really looks like.
Oh, a cinematic
finale.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Well, if you enjoyed this podcast episode, please rate it or subscribe or do whatever you want to do to engage with it. And most importantly, send it to people who you know who like watching Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. We have an Instagram at Privileged Twinks. I also have another podcast where I talk all of the TV that I watch. If you want to listen to that, it's called Culture, but spelled Q-U-L-T-U-R-E. Culture. With my friend Kainat. And I think that is pretty much everything I have to say. Thank you guys so much for listening. And we'll be back next week with Reunion Episode 1.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.